welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. We are going to go into the basically the irrefutable argument for Republic review. We've already covered the Madison's and Jefferson's, or I should say the Kentucky and Virginia resolutions, as well as Madison and Jefferson's perspective. More precisely, there was Madison's interpretation of Jefferson's perspective, if you remember what we read through the notes on nullification, because he definitely asserted that Jefferson had very specific positions that he had no doubt those were his positions. But this was, 1834. But Jefferson had been dead for, 8 years? So at that point, we had clarity, because this is where Madison really puts nullification on the table and talks about the details of nullification and how nullification, a single state nullification, is both violating the concept of the Union as well as the Uniformity Clause, and in so doing, the states, what they should do constitutionally is they should secede from the Union and basically break that bind between the state and the general government and the Union itself. This is one of the reasons why, if you understand why it's so important not to let a state secede, is because we need every state that wants to defend the Constitution engaged in the Union to fight for full compliance. There we go. I'm kind of stammer a little bit because I'm so frustrated. We need to get every state. It's the same thing with sovereign citizen movement. When somebody becomes a sovereign citizen and they abjure themselves from U.S. citizenship, they consider themselves no longer U.S. citizen, because the establishment of the U.S. citizen was under the 1787 Constitution. The federal government created jurisdiction over all U.S. citizens in the original draft of the 1787 Constitution, because they claimed jurisdiction over all U.S. citizens over a few things, and only those things. And the only thing that once the Bill of Rights was applied, then the Bill of Rights basically protected U.S. citizens from those very specific powers that, one, were not enumerated and reserved for the people specifically so that they couldn't encroach upon those. Now, just because they created a Bill of Rights didn't mean that they changed the Constitution to a general Constitution. The whole point in the ratification debates was that they didn't need a Bill of Rights. But somehow Madison just went ahead and created them and created a double negative, because technically the negative is if it's not enumerated, you can't do it. But these things that aren't enumerated, we want to highlight these that you really, really, really can't do. That's the whole point of the Bill of Rights and the whole point of the Constitution. So why were the Bill of Rights so important? Because we needed to be protected from the states. The states had been, the whole problem for the Constitution in the first place was because of the state bad behaviors. The states were not acting in the best interest of their people, nor were they acting in the best interest of the Union itself. They were the problem, period. So let us move forward, because we're going to get into the bullets for, and it's been a while since I've read this, so we're going to actually go through what we have out online. You can go get these on our Constitutional Articles page. It is the top three documents that gives you what I believe is everything you really need to know and understand regarding the Constitution. So, as you know, the show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org, and you are listening to the only show that goes through the academic evidence and the academic evidence-based solutions of what we have to do. If you're looking to hear people rant and make you feel good because they feel the same way about you, about this immigration, or I should say this invasion, or whatever is the problem that is really frustrating you that you just got to let some steam off, this is not the show. with this show, we talk about the solutions. If you want to solve the problems, this is the show to listen to. If you want to complain or hear people talk about the problems without a solution, there's an abundance of those shows out there. And what we want to do is we want to create a Reclaiming the Republic network where people start getting on board and start talking about the solutions. Now, I know Doug Gibbs, he talks about the solution. I don't know if he talks about the solution and he's focused on it. So, and I get it. I'm not focused on it on days to get your attention. But I wish that other hosts would do the same thing that I do that support Republican View, like Doug Gibbs. I wish you'd do this. What I mean by that is when you talk about the news, place the constitutional context to it, and then just ask you, the listener, what is it going to take to get you engaged and get you involved? We know there's a lot of people out there listening, and you're not engaged. Now, you may think you're engaged, but you're really not. If you're not actually doing something to help push, because remember, the old formula for work equals force times distance, right? So if you actually move something, then you've done some work. But if we haven't moved anything, then you really haven't done any work. We need to get things moving. We need to get things going. And so that's kind of why in the last episode, we talked about creating a constitutional county. I'll try to come back around to that once we're done with Republic Review. And hopefully I'll be able to maybe talk, you know, into the details. And I don't know, maybe we'll have some local state representative for the National Liberty Alliance on to talk about the importance and how you can get involved at the state, county, and local levels. Anywho, don't forget, don't have a promo yet, but don't forget, I'd highly recommend you check out Timber Nation if you are looking for solid hardwood furniture. Now, Red Pill Expo, coming up in November, the first weekend of November, is going to be at Lafayette, Louisiana. This is open and free for legislatures to attend the basic forum, you know, the expo itself, to get the meals and the other VIP treatment and that type of stuff. Then they're going to need to pay an additional price, but their attendance to the event itself is not required. In other words, they're waiving the all you have to do is identify. Maybe I think when they do the tickets and all of that, if you're a state legislature, they'll have that little box so you can prove when you show up that you are a state legislator. Anyway, we also have a comment line, 425-270-5416. And we hope that one of the things you're doing is actually bringing people, it's not just getting people to listen, it's getting people to actually start getting engaged. If you got questions, if there's any reservations, this comment line is designed for you, 425-270-5416. I don't think anybody pays long distance phone calls anymore, so we didn't feel the need to create a 1-800 number. So again, we did talk about constitutional counties, and we're going to get into more details regarding the unorganized militia. I want to tell you about what's going on in South Dakota and so forth. But let's dive into Republic Review. And this is the argument in bullet format. And the first argument, in accordance with Article 7 of the Constitution is a compact or contract written for and by the states. The legal definition of ratification, which is in Article 7, is the action of giving formal consent to a treaty, compact, or contract or agreement, making it officially valid. For the compact / contract to be given force, it required a threshold of shareholders, or basically buy-in from states to buy into this. And it identifies states are the parties. This identifies right there that we have parties to the compact. The federal government is not a party to the compact. The states are. And the federal government has been, you know, assigned, what we call editorializing. So anyway, bullet two. What we have here is, in accordance with Article 7 and Article 5, the states are the principal shareholders of this compact or contract. Consequently, only the states possess the sovereignty over the compact or contract. Thus, only the states could ratify the Constitution. Only the states possess the authority to ratify amendments or changes to the Constitution. And conversely, the Constitution does not grant the authority to the Supreme Court, President, or Congress to ratify the Constitution or amend to the Constitution. Therefore, or any amendment to the Constitution. Therefore, they are not principal parties to this compact or contract. They're supposed to actually be guarding it from breaches and other violations. The Supreme Court is supposed to be the angel, you know, the angel guardians or guardian angels of the Constitution. And they have failed right out the gate with John Marshall. Paragraph 2. In accordance with Article 7 and Article 5, the states are... In accordance... This is 3. This is bullet point 3. In accordance with the 9th and 10th Amendments, the states are the sovereigns who possess supremacy over all things not delegated to the general government or federal government within the compact or contract. So in other words, those powers that are delegated within the Constitution or its ratified amendments, those powers, again, in the Constitution or ratified amendments, the federal government is supreme over. All other things, the states are supreme. And if the federal government starts doing things that they, you know, want to claim constitutional and it's not in the Constitution, the states are still supreme over that. So we will be right back with the following sub-bullets to 3 right after this. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416. Okay, well, let's get, no dilly-dallying, let's get right on to the sub-bullets of number 3, which basically points to the 9th and 10th Amendments are, you know, amendments that identify that the states and the people are the sovereigns and have supremacy over the Constitution, or all things not delegated. Sub-bullet 1. The general government supremacy is limited to only those objects or powers delegated by the states within the compact or contract to the general government. So in other words, those powers delegated, like I just said, that is the only thing that the general government or the federal government has any supremacy over. along with ratified amendments. So remember when they passed a Prohibition Act and made alcohol illegal, hard, you know, liquor, only wine and beer was supposedly legal? Well, by doing so, it gave the federal government the ability to start creating laws. It did not, within that Prohibition Act, it did not give the federal government the ability to enforce those laws. They could create laws, but the enforcement law is still within Article 1, Section 8, Subsection 15, that the militia is the force of basically enforcing federal law or laws to execute them or laws in pursuant to the Constitution. But at this point in time, the federal government was getting away with creating their own standing armies in every direction they wanted to go. Anyway, so the second bullet, accordingly, the states delegated specific, defined, and limited roles, responsibilities, and powers within the compact or contract, i.e. the Constitution, or in other words, the Constitution, to the general government, and the general government was constrained per the compact or contract from doing anything that was not specifically delegated to it within the compact. See Article 6, Section 2, and the 9th and 10th Amendments. So this is where we kind of cover the Supremacy Clause. Yes, the federal government is supreme over all those things that fall in pursuant to that Constitution, whether that be treaties or laws that the federal government makes. However, that is it. They do not have supremacy over healthcare, education, energy, and all of these things, because none of those are enumerated powers. Bullet number four. The only way the general government can constitutionally obtain a new role, responsibility, or power, we call them RRPs, is by requesting that the states delegate the desired RRP to them, the general government, via an amendment to the Constitution in accordance with the constitutional amendment process. The General Welfare and Defense Clause, the Commerce Clause, the Necessary and Proper Clause, and Supremacy Clauses are not ambiguous portals for the general government to assume new roles, responsibilities, and powers. These clauses only apply to the roles, responsibilities, and powers enumerated in the Constitution and amendments to the Constitution that have been ratified and treaties constitutionally ratified by two-thirds of the Senate. Now, just to be clear here, if the federal government does not have the enumerated power to spend money on whatever they want to, social engineering, they do not have the authority to go and create a treaty to loan money to do that. Because, bottom line, they are limited to the enumerated powers. Anyway, so where do you find, you know, the details on this? See Article 6, the ratification debates, Madison's veto of the bonus bill, along with Monroe and Jackson's, as well as the Federalist Papers. Paragraph 5, politicians, jurists, lawyers, officers, officials, professors, and persons claiming profound understanding of the Constitution within and outside of the general government since 1791, has used lies, deceit, and collusion to convince the states to allow the general government the ability to assume unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, and powers without following the systematic process within the Constitution. See the ratification debates, as well as Madison's veto again on the bonus bill of 1817 and the Federalist Papers. Sub-bullet 1. Therefore, all RRPs, roles, responsibilities, and powers, being exercised that cannot be found within the Constitution and the ratified amendments are blatant violations of the Constitution and usurpations of the states. Are usurpations of the state's roles, responsibilities, and powers, and sovereignty. See the ratification debates, and so forth and so on. This is why we go through the ratification debates first. So I'm not going to actually read those, because I think it just kind of takes away from that, to, you know, the references to go find these things in these references. Sub-bullet 2. For the For almost two centuries, the general government and the public servants at all levels have failed to comply with the Constitution as ratified, and now our republic is in grave peril due to these usurpations. Bullet six. Inherent within compact and contract law is the ability of the principal shareholders or the parties, the primary parties of a compact, to audit their compact or contract for compliance and enforcement. Therefore, only the states possess the authority to and must validate all roles, responsibilities, and powers being exercised by the general government to confirm that all roles, responsibilities, and powers have been established since the 1789 ratification of the Constitution. This is where they were properly delegated by the states by adding to the constitutional amendments and the constitutional amendment process. So what we also need to have them do, and this is kind of putting a little mark here, that not only are they to go through the powers, but the states need to audit to verify that the amendments that they're going to actually look at and say, hey, there's maybe some power in this one amendment delegated to the federal government. The question is, was that amendment constitutionally ratified? Anything beyond the 12th Amendment is highly questionable. We need to prove and verify that these amendments were properly ratified in accordance with the Constitution as well as in accordance with the state constitutions. This first bullet, therefore, only the states possess the authority to and must validate all RRPs being exercised by the general government to confirm that all RRPs have been established since the 1789 ratification of the Constitution and that they were properly delegated by the states to adhering the constitutional amendment process, which is what I just basically said. And we are referring now to, and this is why we go through, the Kentucky and Virginia resolutions. So this must be done in a formal audit process. The only original three executive departments, which is the State, Defense, and Treasury, and the General Accounting Offices, were defined by the framers as the necessary and proper departments within the enumerated RRPs, or the Roles, Responsibilities, and Powers. In other words, the other 12, starting with the Department of Home, now we call it the Department of Interior, are unconstitutional departments. They don't have the ability to create those departments or even exercise any authority in those environments, those different disciplines within our economy, society, and so forth. This must be a formal audit process. Again, we have to actually go through and make sure we're crossing T's and dotting I's. You know, when you go through a contract, you want to make sure you don't leave any stone unturned. So again, going back to these three primary departments, we have to actually verify that there, you know, is there really a need for the IRS? Now, let's be clear. You can have an IRS to actually, because we did have the 16th Amendment, you can have an IRS to create and manage the policies and regulations, but the enforcement upon the people and upon businesses is to be done by the militia, not the Army, not the, you know, the Marine Corps or the Navy, not the Department of Defense, the militia, period. If there is no amendment or constitutionally ratified treaty for the roles, responsibilities, and powers being exercised by the department, agency, office, or administrative entity, these RRPs, or roles, responsibilities, and powers, and entities are unconstitutional, blatant violations of the compact. So here's where we actually have what we would call some action. To ensure that this audit has the full force of the Republic, a simple majority of the states with representation in both houses, in other words, we need a majority of those states' representatives in the House and those states a majority, which would only be 26 states in the Senate. But because some states don't have, you know, the same amount of representatives in the House of Representatives. There's a lot of states with just one. So we need to make sure that we have enough states to have a majority in the House of Representatives as well. This is why there is a requirement for 27, because based on the red states and based on the apportionment of those red states, it is now, 27. Now, I don't know when California loses its apportionment. I believe it'll probably be in the next election. If that's so, and some other blue states may have lost apportionment, and red states have gained, we actually may be able to go down to 26 for the House of Representatives as well. So in other words, just a simple majority of the states is all we would require. That's pretty nice. That makes a big impact. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, so back to paragraph 7, bullet 7. Again, this is action. This is where, to ensure the audit has the full force, we need a simple majority to engage with Republic Review. In other words, they have to coalesce together and work together in authoring as the shareholders or the parties of the compact to rebuke the general government and use the necessary measures, that's right out of Madison's lingo in his resolutions, of political force within the Constitution to gain compliance with their compact or contract by the general government. Now, it is preferred that all states in the Republic participate in the Republic review process. I'm going to tell you, you're going to probably see California probably come to try to defend their progressive agenda. There's going to be that, but they probably will not participate in the directives and the necessary measures. They're only going to try to come in and stonewall. And so bottom line, one state, one vote. Just like ratifying an amendment, one state, one vote. It's not by majority or popular vote. One state, one vote. Next bullet or sub-bullet. Republic Review will require the general government to produce the necessary legislative measures to disband and dissolve all unconstitutional RRPs. And I need to add to this one at a time, because some of these things will actually require a little bit of passover or handing over, turnover of the content and information. Like the Department of Energy has a whole bunch of data. The states are going to want that data because it's their data. And so they're going to have to work out a succession plan of migrating all that data and those things out back to the states before they've actually disbanded this. Now, the states must use all constitutional powers and forces necessary to obtain compliance. Bear in mind, it is detrimental to a politician's career to fail to comply to their constituents. And at this particular point in time, their primary constituent is the Constitution, and they must fulfill their sacred oath of office. If not, then they will be in violation of Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, which means that they are to be immediately removed and to be banned for life any access to public service in any manner, even dog catcher. Bullet 8. This process or method amongst the states asserting their powers is not applying to Congress in accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution to convene a convention to amend the Constitution. See Article 5, the ratification debates, and of course all these other things, and the Republic Review Model. Thus, the states are asserting their authority as the principal parties to this compact over their Constitution. Got to understand, that is their they are the party suit. That's why it was so important to go through what Madison stated, because he put this strictly in context to the compact. If a state has an active application for an Article 5 convention, it must rescind and withdraw its application to ensure it is not sending mixed signals and clearly asserting its constitutional authority over the compact. States that have already coalesced should insist on all states rescinding or withdrawing their Article 5 application when they come into the Republic Review family, when they, you know, join that the union of states in holding the federal government accountable. Sub-bullet 1. Consequently, the coalesced states, while conducting Republic Review, will not possess the constitutional powers to amend the Constitution in any way. Sub-bullet 2. This is simply exercising the authority individually and collectively to validate and determine compliance to their Constitution. See the Kentucky resolutions of 1798-99, the report on the resolution from Madison, as well as Madison's notes on nullification, and as well as Federalist Paper number 49. Sub-bullet 3. Furthermore, this audit by the Republic for Republic Review does not require Congress to appoint a place or time to conduct the audit and Republic Review process. This audit, this is paragraph 10 or bullet 10, this audit is what Madison and Jefferson attempted to accomplish, or this is what they did in 1798 with the Kentucky and Virginia resolutions. You want to take a look at, if you want to challenge this, go look at those again, or go listen to our broadcast of those documents and going through that. And we painfully went through that, just because some of the language is a little bit tough. But it's not like when you look at it, you look at the words, it's not like it doesn't make sense. Maybe some words may not for some of you, but the pronunciation and the flow, because you're just not used to saying it that way. Anyway, sub-bullet 1. Jefferson audited the Constitution in the Kentucky resolutions of 1798. So if you want to go look and see what he did, the very first 5 or 6 resolutions are literally extrapolations and or audits of how each act violated the Constitution and or the Bill of Rights. Paragraph 11. Republic Review is, again, what Madison and Jefferson exercised in the Virginia and Kentucky resolutions when these states called upon their fellow parties, their fellow shareholders, to join them in rebuking the general government for violating their constitution. And as a matter of fact, I will ask you to go read my article on nullification or interposition. Nullification or interposition by myself, and it is on the Constitutional Articles page. I need to actually insert the link right here. Anyway, sub-bullet 2. Their fellow states failed to fulfill their obligation or oversight over the compact, which is why Madison and Jefferson were not successful in conducting their version or their first attempt of republic review that has ever been attempted. And why Jefferson lamented in 1798 resolutions, or actually the 1799 resolutions, and Madison did not lament. Madison justified his position. And so when you go through these notes on nullification, as well as his report on it, it becomes very clear that the states must work together in union to go after the federal government. That's what they have to do, because they joined into the union to do this in granting and delegating these powers. That compact is theirs. That's why they are the only tribunal over that compact in determining whether the violations were being done, and if so, what are going to be the consequences. Sub-bullet 2 of paragraph 11. The first and obvious action was nullification. And was nullification of these acts, but it was actually, so this is incorrect. I'm going to highlight this because the obvious action was not nullification. The obvious action was to audit and then to interpose, because what we thought when we first started going through this a long time ago, so this is a few years old, and I haven't caught this one little sub-bullet, so I'm glad I'm reading it. The first and obvious action was the audit. The next obvious action by Jefferson and Madison was basically to coalesce the states, not to nullify one at a time, but to coalesce the states to acknowledge that these are violations of their compact. Then this is when they interpose. So that would have been interpose, or the action that starts getting compliance is like the third step. Primarily. Now, when we look at the flow chart, you'll kind of see how it breaks down, because the states have to get organized, they have to create these subcommittees, they have to do some analysis and so forth. And then when they start realizing, you know, which powers are unconstitutional, some of them will be just a slam dunk. Education, gone, right? Health and Human Services, gone. There's no way that you can, you know, connect any dot to that. Now, all the highway systems, well, those are gone. They should be gone, but there's a lot of people, oh, well, what about post roads? If you don't understand what a post road is, then okay. You kind of have some learning to do, because a post road is not a postal service road. A post road is the road or highway that connects you to the state capital, to the federal capital. And in some cases, they actually connect the state capitals together so that they don't have to have 50 different highways. They all kind of just join up and proceed on to D.C. Anyway, so the last and final point for the argument is, in harmony with Madison and Jefferson's actions, the audit only required one state to initiate and call for republic review. So bottom line, that is the lowest denominator. That is the fundamental requirement for republic review, that we need at least one state to initiate and start calling for republic review. So with that, then our next step is actually going through the process of republic review. Now, this is going to take a little longer. That the bullet points or the argument is really less than 3 pages. So we got through that pretty quick. So the next one, which is the explaining the flowchart for republic review in bullet format, is what we're going to do now. So we will be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, so in the model process, the first thing we want to start off with is our initial goal in obtaining a majority of state legislatures in both houses, except Nebraska, because it's a unicameral house, to call for Republic Review process and to get it started in one state, acknowledging the requirement to initiate the audit portion of Republic Review process. So what we need to do now, because before I even wrote this, or I should say, after I wrote this, I came up with this concept of what we're calling canonizing or definitizing the Constitution. We need the states because they're the sovereigns. Who canonized the Bible? Was it the people? Was it the Episcopal Church? No. The person who canonized the Bible was King James because he was the sovereign at the time. The only parties that are sovereign at this point in time regarding this Constitution are the states. So only they can actually definitize or canonize our Constitution. I know I've been told by a few people now that the canonizing, that kind of has a religious connotation, and, you know, I don't like that. Actually, it's not really religious, but bottom line, it's about definitizing. Definitizing is the same thing, and it is something that is done with the one who has the authority, or those who have the authority to do that. And so what I need to do is I need to add in here this whole definitizing and or this canonizing process. Once that is done, right? So I need to just add that one word. There we go. Now, moving on, the next sub-bullet underneath this, the target conservative or dark red state legislatures, this is our target here, is to learn the founding principles of republicanism and the separation of powers between the states and the general government through the irrefutable argument of Republic Review and the presentation and the bullet points. So that's all we need to do is just get them to understand and get them to be the champions for the Constitution and restoring the states' roles, responsibilities, and powers that the federal government has usurped. Sub-bullet 2. Once they understand the premise of the audit, they also need to learn what and why Madison and Jefferson attempted to conduct Republic Review in 1798, which will then help them realize and actualize their role, authority, and power of corrective oversight over the Constitution. Sub-bullet to the sub-bullet, the sub-sub-bullet, whatever you want to call it, as they do, the leading legislatures championing the Republic or championing Republic Review in each legislative body will begin working on draft resolutions to call for the audit of the Constitution against the general government. They will also create a resolution calling upon sibling states to join them in the audit and conduct Republic Review. This is what Jefferson and Madison did. Now, I am here telling you that we do not need to communicate to the federal government anything other than the withdrawing of petitions for a convention of states. And that's it. Because we do not act and, assert the authority over all unconstitutional powers until we have enough states to actually enforce that. You do realize, if you're the one person that stands up and then you try to take on the federal government, they're going to squish you like a bug. But they can't do that because now, if you've got a majority, any legislator in either of the houses or both houses that tries to go down that path that is a part of these states, they risk themselves of losing their career. Remember, these creatures are creatures of preservation. They are not going to jeopardize their potential career of becoming president or whatever it is that they have this avarice, this lofty design of becoming so famous in destroying America for. I think, and sadly, Biden is in that boat of, I want to be famous for destroying America. He was responsible for rejecting or rescinding the rejection of the 17th Amendment and getting the federal government to allow a change on the 17th Amendment. So now any other state, just so you don't understand this, any other state out there can rescind their position. If they ratified the 17th Amendment, they can rescind it. And then they can actually formally reject it and send that rejection back to Congress, to the federal government. And at that point in time, they are no longer obligated to use the election process of appointing their legislators. This is clear in Article 5 of the Constitution. But anyway, I just went down a rat hole and didn't mean to do that. The next sub-bullet of this second sub-bullet would be, once a comprehensive resolution with all the violations has been passed by both houses, these resolutions will be promulgated to the fellow states that would be receptive to fulfilling their obligation of preserving the Constitution and the Republic. Focusing on red states or those states with a desire to enforce the Constitution is done first to allow momentum to develop. And this is where we kind of talked a couple of episodes ago about the two-man theory, because what you want to do is you want to get a couple of other states to quickly jump in so that they can actually be a part of this shot of courage, this arising of the states to say, we're not going to take it anymore. The third sub-bullet of the second sub-bullet is, proponents for auditing the Constitution and calling for Republic Review in each of the legislative bodies must build a coalition within their states, bicameral legislative bodies, to obtain a majority to pass legislation to conduct the audit and call for Republic Review. Now, let me point out, because one of the things that really, really happens a lot of times is people start hearing this, and what they want to do is they want to start correcting their state legislatures. Like, they want to get the counties back into representation in the Senate, as well as maintaining a minimum of representation in the House of Representatives, like the states are at the federal level. That's how it was before. Many states came into the Union, not maybe utilizing that format, but that's how it was done originally. And so when states go, oh, we got to do this, we got to restore a Republican form of government. No, let's do that next. Let's first get the federal government tied down so that they can't fly away into the arms of communism. Okay? Now, the next and final primary sub-bullet for this first paragraph. Working with the grassroots organizations in the state, now here's the sub-bullet to that. If necessary, these legislatures will need to work with state and county, i.e. parties and or other grassroots, the central committees of the counties, the grassroots organizations, and set up constitutional committees of correspondence and possibly even a PAC in each state dedicated to demanding compliance to the Constitution to apply pressures on other legislative districts to get their fellow legislators to fulfill their oath and to do their job in protecting the citizens. Now, this has to be a public campaign in the election process as well. They have to be very succinct and very concise. And we're going to get into this when we get into the county and this other stuff of, you know, the NLA stuff and so forth and the Bill of Rights. We're going to get into all of this as we move beyond this information right here. And before we get back into the source documents, like hopefully we'll be done before Constitution Day, because on Constitution Day, we will be going through the Constitution. So hopefully we'll be done with what and how you have to do this. I want to cover all of these details because we gloss over these a lot. But this is now where you get the meat. This is where you can chew on it. You can figure out, you know, this is the things you can do and how you can do them. We don't necessarily spell out how, but we do identify what you really need to do. And you need to start building the coalition. You need to start getting people, you know, in sync with the narrative. You got people that are using different narrative and messaging, then you're going to have a problem, because then people don't understand the consistency. Well, who are you with? And what is this? And that becomes a huge problem. And so let me get back to where I was in demanding compliance of the Constitution to apply pressures on their legislative districts to get their fellow legislators to fill their oath and to do their job in protecting their citizens from federal tyranny, or have these organizations work in replacing the legislators and with one person who is actually going to fulfill their oath of office. So this is where you start, you know, beating the weeds, finding somebody that is, you know, understands the importance of doing this and actually committed to doing this. And then you knock these guys off. You actually replace these rhinos and put them into the unemployment line. That simple. Okay. Paragraph 2. Once a single state obtains a majority of support within the two legislative bodies, they must, one sub-bullet, finalize a state resolution and pass a single, concise, and succinct final resolution for all of their state to audit the Constitution and call other states to join in the audit and the Republic review process. The second sub-bullet under paragraph 2. Pass necessary administrative measures to, and here's the sub-bullet to the second sub-bullet. Research and identify all federal offices, agencies, bureaus. Well, what we're going to do, because I ran out of time, it's going to take a couple episodes, like I said. What we'll do is we'll come back into this right here with paragraph 2 of the bullets for the Republic review process. And with that, I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org
and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.